Behind the Scenes, March 10th, 2005.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is Behind the Scenes, an inside look at what it takes to put together a podcast and make it work. Check it out.
This is Craig Patchett from Behind the Scenes, and I'm here at the Orange County Podcasters Meetup Group at Irvine with about, I think there's 10 of us here tonight, and I'm going to take this opportunity to talk to some of the people that are here and find out a little bit about how they got into podcasting. Some of the people here are podcasters, some of them are just getting a feel for what podcasting is, and some are thinking about getting their own podcast started, so we'll get a diverse group of opinions. So I'm going to start with Maynard. Maynard is, last week was his first introduction to podcasting, and he is trying to figure out what the best way he can use podcasting to his advantage is. So Maynard, you've had a month to think about it, a month to take into consideration everything you learned last week. How do you think that podcasting is going to be able to benefit you?
Well, the idea of being able to transmit, I do cartoon voices and that sort of thing, and I like to write kid stories. I would like to somehow create a kid's show that's family-friendly, I remember back in college, there was one class that in particular that I enjoyed probably more than any other, and it was radio drama, and they had a Folly stage, and the different people would do, you know, like the Lone Ranger or whatever, and we'd have all these different characters. Well, the idea of doing something like that, you'd have to be with a professional theater group and all of this, and it's just too involved. But the idea of being able to manage it on your own laptop, how I got to have an interest in podcasting was the Register newspaper in Orange County here. There was, in the business section, they had an article about podcasting about a month ago, and they had this Apple laptop with a microphone, and they said that with some free software you can do your own show, and it seemed very appealing. And the idea of recording to MP3 seems very right where I'm going, because when I was in Hawaii this last summer and did some radio commercials in Maui, the idea of doing the commercials via MP3, and then you could send it to them, and then they could add the sound effects and music there, and I would just do the voice here. It just seems natural to look forward to doing other things with MP3, and so there you go.
So, in effect, then, this has opened up a lot of opportunities that had kind of been something that you wanted to explore, but there had been barriers that this has taken away for you.
Well, the idea of doing, if anybody out there who's listening to this has ever done radio drama, it is one of the funnest things you can imagine. If you do cartoon voices or, I don't know, you become someone else, but one of the nice things about it, just like with any voiceover thing, you don't have to memorize the lines. I've done some stage stuff, and I remember this one time where we had this group of people out there, you know, and it was a Sherlock Holmes thing, and I was the villain, Moriarty. You know, and that's a little more melodramatic than it was in the show. But there was this one point where I was doing this thing, and the director, he wanted every word exactly the way he wrote it, because he was also the writer. Well, and I didn't want to mess up. I wanted to do it exactly whatever. And so here I'm focusing on this character, doing the lines, and then this one word slipped, and it's like I forgot what that word was, and so the rest of it blanked out. And so here up on stage, and it was death. I mean, it's like, oh, here's paying customers, and here I'm just, it felt like an eternity. But later on, people said that they didn't even notice that it happened, because the other performer was a pro, and he was able to kick in, and with impromptu leadings, I was able to get back on track. But that doesn't happen when you have a script in front of you. With voiceover, that's one of the cool things about it. Like, let me do a voice for you.
Ted, the termite. Boy, this song was heaven for us termites.
I was queen of the ball until that hairy little elf creature, oh, spilled guacamole on my glass slipper.
You can do that kind of stuff, you know, and the idea of having it manageable, I have a laptop with the Pro Tools M-Box and all that, and I'm just dying to use it. And the thing is now is to connect with someone who has similar leanings, or maybe to do it on my own. I don't know. I'm not a tech head, so it, you know, knowing all this technical stuff, I don't know. But anyway, by like last time, listening to Craig, he gave me the history of podcasting, and it was very enlightening and helpful. And so we'll see what happens.
Yay!
Well, I know that I'm certainly interested to see where you go with it, so we'll stay tuned for more. Thanks very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, this is David Jacobs with the Three Ring Podcast, which has only been up for a little while, right, David?
Yeah, about maybe a week and a half.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the Three Ring Podcast and how you got inspired to get going with it?
Well, it's a podcast about everything, since I kept hearing about people doing podcasts about nothing, which I thought was kind of a dumb old reference. So I said, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to call mine a podcast about everything. Since I couldn't decide what to talk about, I decided to talk about everything. That seemed to cover it all. So I got going because I've been trying to do broadcasting on the internet for a long time, trying to recapture my college broadcasting experience. And only since podcasting have I found the perfect method, the distribution. I could always do the recording on the computer. That was never a problem. It was always the distribution method. There never was one. Now there finally is. It's cheap. Anyone can do it. I'm so happy.
Great. And how did you originally find out about podcasting?
Strangely enough, I'd been time shifting audio for a while. And what I used to do is I used Total Recorder on the PC. Great program. Just records whatever comes out of the sound card. So what I would do is I would tell Total Recorder on its scheduler to go to a website. I find websites that have streaming feeds. And I fire up the feed, the streaming audio, and I get Total Recorder to record it, and bang, I got time-shifted audio on my iPod. So I've been doing that for radio shows for a while. Did it for Leo Laporte's show for a while before he podcasted. That's how I got his show. And I did it for a show called David Lawrence Show, which is a computer tech show that they don't broadcast in L.A., even though he broadcasts from L.A., which is I always thought was odd. So I time-shifted his program, and it just so happened that right after Christmas, I'm listening to his show, and he's saying, yeah, I'm getting all these emails, people telling me you got to podcast your show. And he's all about making money. He's not going to podcast it because unless he can get paid, he's not going to do it. He already has a system where you can download it and pay him. I just time shift it. So I heard this term podcasting and immediately thought, this is interesting. This sounds good. I got to check this out. I Google it. I get to iPodder.org. The rest is history. It all opened up for me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was like 6 months late. I couldn't believe this had already been going on for a couple of months and I missed it.
Where can people find your podcast?
www.threeringpodcast.com. So we're just getting going and looking for more listeners.
Great. Well, hopefully this will get you a few more.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay, next is Eric Shaw. Eric has got a podcast in the works, which he's not going to talk specifically about because it's such a great idea that one of you is going to steal it and get it up there on the web before he has a chance to. Eric, what was it that originally got you interested in podcasting?
Originally, I have a site that is the topic of what my podcast is going to be. It's going to be a portal. It's supposed to launch in late July. And what I wanted to do originally was have a full-blown radio with streaming, calling, all that stuff. And that was my first line. And I started looking at that, saw the hosting, saw it was really expensive, all that kind of stuff. And I was looking for alternatives. And a couple days later, I ran across a USA Today article that really was promoting podcasting, talking about that. And from then on, I looked at that as a pretty viable option of what I wanted to do originally. I liked how it was a kind of a new thing. It hasn't been around for more than like a year or so, and I thought it'd be good to be in the movement, be in the beginning, and so I decided to go that route with the podcast.
Okay, great. And how long until you think that your show will be out?
End of July range, early, end of July, early August, and by the time it launches, I hope to be doing two shows a week.
Okay, great. Well, I'll make sure that once it is officially announced, that it'll be up and announced at Behind the Scenes so that people can connect your name with the show, and we'll get you some publicity on it.
All right, no problem, for sure. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Next up is Tim Berkwin, half of the Podcast Brothers and promoter and founder of the Podcast Expo, coming up here in Southern California in November. Tim will give you the exact dates. Tim, how did you get involved in podcasting?
Well, you know what? I was doing streaming audio on enduranceradio.com back in August, which was when that started. And I was already using RSS to notify my listeners that a new interview had been posted on the website. But, of course, after they got this notification via RSS that a new interview had been posted, they had to go to the homepage to actually download the audio. So when I started podcasting, it was just a matter of adding the enclosure tags to my RSS feed, and I was podcasting. And for my audience, it was perfect because they're endurance athletes. They're triathletes and marathon runners and adventure racers. So they didn't want to be sitting in front of their computer listening to my interviews. They wanted to be out on their bike, running on the weekends or whatever. So podcasting was made for EnduranceRadio.com. It was perfect application. And my listenership, I can say because of podcasting, has probably doubled just because of podcasting alone. So it's worked out really well.
That's great. Now, you've turned into quite the evangelist for podcasting. And certainly the Podcast Expo is going to play a big role in that. Can you talk a little bit about the Expo?
You know, there just seems to be a lot of, I get emails every day of how do I do this, or what microphone should I buy, or how should I edit my audio, and how do I make my podcast better? So I wanted to provide, my day job is owning a trade show company, and I do trade shows in a lot of different industries. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to get together with everybody once a year, or maybe even twice a year in 2006, just to learn from radio engineers, other podcasters that are promoting their sites well, and just how to get sponsors, the whole gamut of things about how to have a successful podcast. So I wanted to get everybody together to do that in one place, so that's why I started Podcast Expo.
Okay, great. And the dates for Podcast Expo?
Yes, the dates are November 11th and 12th in Ontario, California, Southern California. Registration should be up probably in the next day or two.
And if people want more information or if they want to register, where can they go?
PodcastExpo.com.
Great. Thanks very much. Next up is Andrew Domino, and Andrew is in the process of launching a podcast, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about what that podcast is, what it's about, and how he got into the whole podcasting scene.
Oh, thank you. Right now, I have created my first weblog, and what I do is I talk about the low-carb industry, low-carbohydrate products, low-carb vendors, the authors that write the books, and I've been in this industry for about 5.5 years. And I have a lot of friends that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. And over the last year, there's been a lot of media hype talking about how low-carb is dead. And the low-carb industry is not dead. It is thriving. It's different than it was 2 years ago. And there's always going to be a low-carb industry, and there's always going to be people with diabetes and people who are overweight that need good products. And what my goal is to let people have a source of information, almost a behind the scenes of these manufacturers, of the different authors, and any events that are coming up. I'm also going to be promoting my web business, which is carbsmart.com. We also have a store in Huntington Beach, California. So we'll be promoting both as part of the podcast.
So you're looking at this then as being both an information source and a commercial venture as well.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, I want to sell more product. I want to reach the right audience. And people who are serious low-carbers are a fanatical group. They want to know about the ingredients. They want to know about the people who make the products. They want to know everything. And I want to provide that information.
And how did you come across podcasting?
It's something that I heard a little bit about here and there. I started experimenting with weblogs about, maybe 3 months ago. And then I started, hearing a little bit this, audio files, this, and podcasts. And then only 2 weeks ago did I really understand what it's all about. And I was so excited that I started devouring all the information I could. And that's what brought me to this group. That's what brought me to Adam Curry's podcast, and it was just so exciting that I knew that I had to take my business to the next level and get this information out to the people who want it.
Well, thanks very much, and good luck.
Good, thank you.
Eric Gressing is another one who has just begun to delve into podcasting, is getting his podcast planned and ready to launch. So let's find a little bit about how he got introduced to podcasting and exactly what he's in the process of doing. Eric, how was podcasting introduced to you?
I first discovered podcasting in the Register. Mike? Yeah, we read about, or my partner and I read the article in the Register, And we went from there, tried to figure something out. And initially, we want to, our podcast is going to revolve around sales and motivation. And that's kind of more my partner's field, but eventually I'm going to delve into video editing and start my own podcast.
What is it about podcasting that appeals to you the most?
You know what? I really don't know. I just know that something is starting and it just feels right. And we're just really excited and we're not sure where we're going. We're not sure where podcasting is going, but it's just something new and I'm always attracted to doing something new. So,
is there anything in particular that you're hoping to get out of this, or is it just kind of a journey you want to take to see where it leads you?
It's just a journey that it just seemed really enticing when I read the article. And yeah, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what I'm going to get out of it. I just want to share what I know and hopefully learn from other people at the same time.
Cool. Well, I wish you the best with it and be interested to see how it goes. So thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is Michael Gohagan, the infamous Michael Gohagan of Real Reviews. And Michael, same question. What was it that got you into podcasting initially?
Actually, I heard Adam Curry in early September and was immediately addicted and kept thinking of some ways I could get involved. And by October, it was clear that I was falling horribly behind because there were at least 40 people doing it. So I figured that movies was something that I was passionate about. I could keep up my enthusiasm and would continue to do it. So I jumped in and decided to start discussing movies.
Now, you said listening to Adam Curry got you addicted. What was it about Adam's show that was so addicting?
The fact that Adam was able to put out a show that my computer was going to automatically download, it was almost more the technology that got me excited. I'm not a technology guy by a background, and I had a ton of business ideas surrounding this relative to ways to just communicate with people. And rather than thinking about all of these ideas, I figured the best way to get involved was to start doing it.
Okay. Obviously, your show is one of the more popular shows. Where is it that you plan to take your show long term?
I'm just having fun doing it right now. We're also producing another show called GrapeRadio.com. And the growth of those two shows is kind of opening some opportunities before us. It's a little too early to figure out exactly where it's going, but there's certainly a lot going on the horizon right now.
All right. Well, thanks very much. And sitting right next to Michael is the also infamous Dan Klass, who has not made it up to number two yet, but who did prove with his show today that no one can out-host Hudson. Out-co-host Hudson, I should say. Or maybe out-host Hudson. I don't know. So, Dan, how did you get into podcasting?
How did I hear about it, or how did I get into it, or
both?
Who cares?
Yeah.
My wife got me an iPod, and I was checking my email one day, and I saw a little video clip with an iPod logo on it. And so I watched this clip because I was looking for a case for my iPod, and it was these two guys talking about podcasting, and I'd never heard of it before, but I was immediately hooked. Even before I had heard a podcast, I thought, oh my God, I've got to check this out. And in fact, I think Michael Gohagan's was one of the first podcasts I ever heard, that and Daily Source Code. And I was so shocked at how these guys were making these incredibly high-quality, professional-sounding shows at home with their laptops or with their desktops. I was blown away. So I went into the fetal position for a week or so. And then I decided I had to start. You look so serious right now.
You know, I have to be the serious interviewer at the moment.
You're a very good interviewer, by the way.
Thank you.
I was admiring you before.
Now, you've put together, today was number 30, correct?
Yesterday was number 30, yeah.
What has been the most enjoyable part of it for you?
Honestly, getting feedback from the listeners. I don't respond to every email I get because I just... with the kids, I don't have time. But it's pretty amazing to sit in your spare room where you usually fold laundry and chase kids and do a show, and then within an hour or a day be getting email from all over the world with people telling you how much they appreciate the show. I mean, it's just, that to me is mind-boggling. It's probably the most gratifying thing I can think of.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. I think that for me also, you know, the people that respond to the show, that leave comments or that send email, you know, that means more to me than the download figures or the votes at Podcast Alley.
Well, I mean, did you ever imagine before podcasting that you'd be getting email from New Zealand or Australia or Japan or what? I mean, it's just,
Well, I'm from New Zealand, so New Zealand doesn't surprise me as much. But yeah, it is pretty amazing.
You're from New Zealand?
Yeah, yeah. You know that.
No, I didn't know that, but I'm going to call the naturalization people tomorrow. But my point is...
I'll show you my green card. It's in my wallet.
You better. I had a train of thought, and it's left the station. I think that's the main thing. What was it? New Zealand?
Email from around the world. Whatever. Feedback, comments.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay. All right, so anything else?
No.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
You're welcome very much. Thank you for asking me. He's a very good interviewer, you know.
All right.
I heard a rumor on the internet today that you weren't going to do this for a while.
Yeah, I've heard that rumor too. That's why I'm interviewing people instead of sitting at my desk talking about technology and so forth.
Well, behind the scenes is great. You can't stop.
I know. I'm going to keep it going. Well, thanks. And that's it for tonight. This is the Orange County Podcasters Meetup Group. If you have not participated in a meetup group, then go to podcaster.meetup.com. Check it out. See if there's a group near you. If there isn't, you can sign up to be notified when a group starts near you. Or if you're the outgoing type, you can start up a group of your own. It's really easy to do. And it's definitely worthwhile to meet other podcasters in your area, discuss what's going on with them, how their shows are going, if they're already started, and discuss ideas and swap information. So again, this is Craig Patchett from Behind the Scenes. Have a great week, and hopefully I will be back next week with another show. If not, then soon. Take care and God bless.